Okay, today is Wednesday, May 8th. Lamed Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, first day of Rosh Chodesh. And it is Parshat Kedoshim. So in order to understand all of the Makarot that we're going to utilize today, we have to look at the last pasuk of Parshat Acharei Mot, which says, "V'shmartem et mishmarti levilti asot michukot hatoevot asher na'asu lifneichem velo titam ubahem ani Hashem Elokechem. And you shall observe my charge not to commit any of the abominable practices that were done before you, and you shall not become defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." And this, of course, among other things, is referring specifically to the sexual practices that are forbidden within that parsha. And then we have our parsha, and we're going to look at these three psukim, even though we're really going to focus on one word, but you'll see how they'll be relevant. So, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Hashem said to Moshe, saying, "Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael," speak to the entire congregation of B'nai Yisrael, it's unusual language there, "V'amarta lehem," and say to them, "Kedoshim tihiyu." So you see in our translation, it says, "You shall be holy." So the question is going to be, how do we understand this? Do we understand this as an informative of the future? You will be holy. Or do we understand this as a command? Be holy. So is it something intrinsic or extrinsic, kind of? Is there a way to become holy, or do we simply need to be holy? Kedoshim tihiyu. And whatever kedoshi means, we're translating it as holy, but we're going to see what it means in a more technical way. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokechem, because I am the Lord your God, am holy. And then immediately after, ish imo ve'aviv tira'u, a man should fear his mother and his father, ve'et shavtotai tishmoru, and my Shabbases you shall keep. Ani Hashem Elokechem, I am the Lord your God. So something about holiness to the entire congregation of Israel and fearing your mother and father and Shabbos. We're not going to talk about the famous Rashi understanding of what fearing your mother and father has to do with Shabbos, which is if Shabbos overrides fearing your mother and father. So if your mother and father tell you not to keep Shabbos, you still have to keep Shabbos. Okay, we're going to skip the Midrash because it's basically, Rashi basically repeats it all. So Rashi there, Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire congregation of Israel. Milamed shenemra parsha zo behakel. So it teaches us why all of b'nei Yisrael, that this parsha was said at hakel, the assembling of the entire congregation of Israel, where the king would read out portions of the Torah. And if you go to the parsha which talks about hakel, the end of the Torah, it's men, women, and children, incumbent upon them all to be there at that public reading. And Rashi's saying that's where this was said, because otherwise why would it say kol adat b'nei Yisrael? When else is the entire assembly of B'nai Yisrael together, except for every 7 years, and that mitzvah of hakel? Mipnei sherov gufei Torah tlin ba, because most of the fundamentals of the Torah are dependent on it in this parsha of Kedoshim, which of course includes a very famous pasuk, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, which Rabbi Akiva says is the klal gadol v'Torah, the foundation of the entire Torah. Okay, so how does Rashi understand kedoshim tihiyu? Separate yourselves from sexual immorality and from sin. For wherever one finds a barrier against sexual immorality, one finds holiness. So Rashi is understanding kadosh, which we're translating as holiness, as parush, which means to separate. So how it is one holy? By separating oneself from sexual immorality or sin, which was what was mentioned in the previous parsha. And then he goes on to say that every time you find these barriers, these fences set up against sexual immorality, you also find holiness. And the examples he gives, they, the Kohanim, shall not take in marriage a woman who is a prostitute or one who is profane. I, the Lord who sanctifies you, am holy. Talks about God's holiness. And he shall not profane his offspring. I, the Lord who sanctifies him. So again, holiness. And they shall be holy. They shall not take in marriage a woman who is a prostitute or one who is profane. That's exactly the same thing. I wonder. It does repeat it there. So all of these sexual laws having to do with holiness. Okay, so Rashi seems to be saying, if you do all of these things from the previous parsha, then you will be holy. You will be separated. The Ramban takes a very different take on it. First, he quotes Rashi, and he disagrees. So we're just going to read it in English. But I want you to, I bolded here, this very famous phrase in the Ramban, Naval Bereshut HaTorah, which is translated here as a sordid person within the permissible realm of the Torah. So this is a famous phrase, Naval Bereshut HaTorah, that is referred to people who, within the parameters of what is seemingly permissive, do disgusting things. And that's what the Ramban's going to refer to. So here's the Ramban. But in the Torah Kohanim, I've seen it mentioned without any qualification. So he's contradicting Rashi. He's saying, I have textual proof that it's not always sexuality juxtaposed with holiness, with kadosh, kedusha. Saying, be self-restraining, kedoshim. Similarly, the rabbis taught there, and you shall sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am holy. Just as I am holy, so be you holy. Just as I am pure, so be you pure. In my opinion, this abstinence does not refer only to restraint acts of immorality. The translation here, I think, is a little different than the Hebrew. It makes it seem like he's building on Rashi. I think, in fact, maybe he's disagreeing with Rashi, that Rashi's saying it refers to restraint from acts of immorality. Ramban is going to say something different. But it is rather the self-control mentioned throughout the Talmud, which confers upon those who practice it in the name of Prushim. So Prushim, which the Pharisees that are more famous, unfortunately, by way of the New Testament than they are of the Talmud, but that's what they are called, which is like the prelude to the rabbis, literally those who are separated from self-indulgence, as will be explained, or those who practice self-restraint. So he's saying it's not people who stay away from things that are explicitly forbidden, but rather people who stay away from things that might be permitted, but they show self-restraint. The meaning thereof is as follows. The Torah has admonished us against immorality and forbidden foods, but permitted sexual intercourse between man and his wife in the eating of certain meat and wine. If so, a man of desire could consider this to be a permission to be passionately addicted to sexual intercourse with his wife or many wives, and be among wine bobbers, among glutinous eaters of flesh, this is quoting from Psukim, and speak freely all profanities, since this prohibition has not been expressly mentioned in the Torah, and thus he will become Naval Bereshut HaTorah, a sordid person within the permissible realm of the Torah. Therefore, after having listed the matters which he prohibited altogether, Scripture followed them up by a general command that we practice moderation even in matters which are permitted, such as the following. One should minimize sexual intercourse similar to that what the rabbis have said, so that disciples of the sages should not be found together with their wives as often as the hens, the roosters, and he should not engage in it except as required in fulfillment of the commandment thereof. He should also sanctify himself to self-restraint by using wine in small amounts, just as Scripture calls a Nazirite holy. So the Nazir is the one who has taken it upon himself to forbid to himself all grape products, including wine, even though according to the Torah it's permitted. He's forbidden it to himself. And in that passage in Bamidbar Parshat Naso, he is called holy for abstaining from wine and strong drink. And he should remember the evils which the Torah mentioned as following from drinking wine in the cases of Noach and Lot. So Noach, as soon as he gets off of the ark, he plants a vineyard, gets stone dead drunk, and his son Cham does awful things to him. And Lot, of course, allows his daughters to get him drunk and commit incest with him as a result of that. So even though getting drunk is seemingly permitted, kedoshim tihiyu, be kadosh and don't indulge in these things. Similarly, he should keep himself away from impurity in his ordinary daily activity, even though we have not been admonished against it in the Torah. Similar to that which the rabbis have said for the prushim, the clothes of the unlearned are considered as if trodden upon by a zav. So this goes back to the days where tuma and tara were much more relevant in daily lives between people who were not even married or related to each other. And you could become tame, but simply by touching somebody else who had a certain level of tuma. And the prushim, these people who tried to stick to this extra level of separateness and holiness, would not even touch somebody who was unlearned, assuming that they had a certain level of impurity. And just as the Nazarite is called holy because of guarding himself from the impurity of the dead, likewise, he should guard his mouth and tongue from being defiled by excessive food and by lewd talk, similar to what Scripture states, in every mouth speaketh wantonness, and he shall purify himself in this respect until he reaches the degree known as complete self-restraint. As the rabbi said concerning Rabbi Chia, that never in his life did he engage in unnecessary talk. That's the word that the Ramban is using that's translated here as self-restraint. So repeating that word, prishut. Okay, so Rashi seems to be saying, you will be holy if you follow these laws mentioned in the previous parsha. Ramban seems to be saying, be holy, even on top of what was forbidden to you in the previous parsha. Be holy, separate yourselves even more from that which is even permitted to you. Don't be a glutton. So it's a fundamental difference in the way that the Rashi and Ramban understand this, whether it's a command or it's informing. We're going to see more of that explained in the Kli Akar when we get to it. Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, has a slightly different take. Mipnei sheharbe mitzvot huzharu lehitkadesh v'lishmor. So because there are many mitzvot that are warned in order to become holy and guard them. So the Rashbam isn't saying you have to do anything extra like the Ramban. And he's also saying it's not referring to any specific laws like Rashi with the sexual laws. He's saying just by keeping all of these Torahs, and maybe he's even talking about what's coming forward in the Parsha of Kedoshim that has many mitzvot, you will become holy. So it's informative as opposed to commanding. As a result of keeping all the mitzvot, you will be holy. Rabbeinu Bachaya has a slightly different take. I'll read it in English. According to the plain meaning of the text, the word kadosh means isolating oneself, being apart. This is an exhortation to the entire Jewish people to be chaste. So he's understanding as a command, be holy, not as a result of having kept any mitzvah. Jewish people to be chaste, to practice noble character traits, and to impress one's children with the importance of these virtues. Children then will look up to their parents as if the parents truly were God's representatives on earth. In turn, they will testify thereby that the Creator himself is their supreme authority, the original patriarch who has called the world into existence. In order to make this point, our paragraph immediately commences by telling us that we must revere mother and father and observe God's Sabbaths. The linkage of these two commandments is that the Sabbath is testimony to the fact that God created the universe. So Rabbeinu Bachaya is really pulling together this string of mitzvot of be holy because I, God, am holy. So you will exemplify to your children God-like features and qualities. And then because you are acting in such a way, your children will respect you or fear you. And then they will know what it means to fear God as well and to keep Shabbos, which is a testimony to God having created the world. Okay, then the Malbim gives a different explanation. It is also possible to explain the directive, you shall be holy, at the beginning of our parsha as applying to the sanctity of one's thoughts. So not having to do with actions, but what are your intents? So it's not about refraining from commanded or not commanded things, but what's your intention? One's intention, similar to what the sages said in the Gemara, that when engaging in the act of marital relations with his wife, both parties should harbor only pure thoughts. I'm not going to get into that, but it does not mean you have to be thinking of tzaddikim while you're being intimate with your partner, not wanting to merely indulge their libido. Seeing that such purity of thought at such a time has a genetic impact on the kind of children produced through the act of cohabitation, the Torah even referred to the children born as having been born for me. So when a couple are engaged in intimacy and they have pure thoughts, whatever that means, and they are, it's consensual and mutual, then these children are for God. And quoting from Yechezkel, and even their children, which they had born to me, they passed before from the idols, specifically the Moloch, that they may be consumed. So this is especially disappointing that children born in this type of purity then are sacrificed to the Moloch. The prophet speaks of children conceived in holiness as children born to God. This is applicable to all the Israelites whose existence is dedicated to God. The reason this paragraph is addressed to Kol Adat B'nai Israel, the entire community of the children of Israel, is because these laws apply to males and females equally. When Moshe assembled the people and gave them the directive to build the tabernacle and for the Israelites to donate materials for that project, we also find the directive addressed to Kol Adat B'nai Israel, the entire community. There, too, the directive was addressed directly to the males and the female members of the community. So, be holy when you engage in mitzvot, or whatever it is you're doing, bake it on a higher level. Don't be an animal. Animals need to do many things that we humans need to do: procreate, eat, go to the bathroom, whatever. We humans, and especially Jews, have a way of elevating all of these behaviors for the service of God. We say brachot before we eat, we say a bracha after we go to the bathroom, and we should have holy, pure thoughts and not just be about our own physical satisfaction in intimacy. And that's how we will be kadosh, according to the Ravina Bechaya. Okay, the Kli Yakar. V'hikdim l'parsha zo inyan kedushat Yisrael. So this parsha begins with the matter of the holiness of Israel. Ki k'mo she'namar kodem matan Torah v'atem tiyu li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. So just like before the giving of the Torah, God says, you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Kach beparsha zo nirmaz kol esarat hadibrot kedemar Rabbi Levi ayin bevayikra Rabba. So to this parsha, and there's a midrash that I probably should have included for you, that says all of this parsha is hinted at, gives reference to one of the Ten Commandments. So the midrash goes through each of the different mitzvot in this parsha and how it relates to one of the Ten Commandments. So just like before the Ten Commandments, it was preceded by an exhortation to be holy. So also here, it's preceded by an exhortation to be holy, actually, that you will be holy, in order to make the mitzvot beloved. Lomar, that is to say, she'al yedehem yisku l'malat ha'kedusha. By way of keeping these mitzvot, you will merit the level of holiness. So when it says kedoshim tihiyu, it is a future. You will be holy if you keep all of these things. But Kli Yakar is looking forward as opposed to Rashi that looked backwards. And don't think that this level of holiness is some small thing, because how does the pasuk continue? I'm holy. God is holy. Kadosh ani. So it's a very large thing. Hakaton be'enecham lidmot hatzura liyotra kivyachol. It might be small in your eyes to compare the form with the former, the one who formed it. So don't, you will be God-like, but don't think you're going to be God. V'chazal amru, and the rabbi said in the midrash, kol makom shetimtza geder erva, sham timtza kedusha. Every place that you see a fence of sexual immorality, there you also find holiness. So that's what Rashi said. V'kvar yadata shelashon geder morva ahadavar hamutar mitzad hadin. So you already know that a geder, a fence, instructs on something that is technically, from the letter of the law, permitted, ve'osin siag v'geder lihitrachek minat yisur. But we put a fence or a boundary around it in order to distance us from doing something forbidden. By engaging in that seemingly permitted act, it might lead to you doing something forbidden. Alkein amru shekol matam she'atam etzeh geder erva. So he's being specific in the midrash, where every time you find a fence protecting you from that sexual, not immorality, it's sexual impropriety. Sham timsa kedusha. There you find holiness. Ki kol kedusha hainu af bedavar hamutar. Because kedusha is also in that which is permitted. Kamo sham ruchazal, as our rabbi said, kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lecha. Sanctify yourself or separate yourself from that which is permitted to you. Ukedushat ha-nazir yochiach. And the fact that the nazir, again, is referred to as holy, proves this point, that there is holiness in separating yourself from that which is permitted. Alkein amru b'makom sheniskar geder erva tamotzei kedusha. Therefore, you say every time that there's a fence around sexual impropriety, you find holiness v'chein b'matan Torah. And you find this also in the giving of the Torah. Al tikshu al isha, where it says, don't approach a woman. Dehaina b'mutalahem. It's permitted for husbands and wives to be together. Why can't they be with their wives? Alkein karam goy kadosh. And therefore, you will be called the goy kadosh by separating yourself from that which is permitted to you. V'chein kan ne'amar lo tikrevu legalot ervat kreva hamivia legilui arayot. Don't bring yourself to come close to revealing erva, nakedness, because this closeness might bring you to actual sexually forbidden acts. V'hu gedar v'sayag la'erva. So not coming close to it is a fence and a protection against the actual forbidden act. V'chein isha zona v'chalala. So to a woman who has had sex with non-Jews or who's born of a non-union of a Kohen and somebody forbidden to the Kohen. Midabri hamutarim li'Israel. It's speaking of things that are permitted to a regular Jew, so that wouldn't not allow a regular Jew to marry this woman. V'hakoin sarich geder v'siag l'isur lo af hamutar l'Israel kedei l'kadsho b'kedusha yetera. But the Kohen needs a higher level of holiness, so things that are permitted to a regular Israelite are forbidden to the Kohen. U'masha mar k'doshim tiyu. Why does it say you will be holy? Yesh b'mashmuto lashon sivui v'lashon hoda'ata inyan. You can read into its meaning, this is what I mentioned before, either a command, be holy, or something informing you of a matter. You will be holy in the future. Kamo v'atem tiyu li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Just like in Shemot, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, or be for me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. So he's saying, shehu hoda'at inyan, in Shemot, it's informing them that they will be in the future. Kach hodia lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, matan tzcharan. Here too, it's informing them, it's not a command, it's informing them that your reward, shel hagdurim me'ariot, for these fences around sexually prohibited acts, shel yidei zeh yu kedoshim lelokechem. You will be holy to your God. So here, he's similar to Rashi, but he's expanding it in the sense of how we understand it vis-a-vis the holiness of God and our own holiness, and how these fences allow us to achieve this holiness. Okay, the Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef ben Tzvi Duchas, 18th century Presburg. And the last source we're going to see is, again, I think I've mentioned him almost every week this year, Torat Moshe, the Chatam Sofer, who's after him and also in Presburg. So they're a little bit similar, so I thought it was interesting, and it might have to do with whatever atmosphere was in the air in Presburg and how they related to the world, which I think is really beautiful and really inspiring. So here's Rav Yosef ben Tzvi Duchas. I don't know how to pronounce it. So first he quotes Rashi, of separate yourself from sexual, from ariot, from nakedness, and from the avera. I just want to see how that's translated. Sorry. Sexual immorality and sin. Yeah, it does say immorality. Okay. Perush zo behakel namra. So Rashi also told us that this was said at Hakel, the gathering of all men, women, and children. Because most of the Torah is actually dependent on what we're going to find in this parsha. So now he's relating this to the duties of the heart, famous Musar book, on the section that's actually called Prishut, separating oneself. So the highest level of separateness and aloneness, bididut, it's not the will of God to be separated. Dehainu she'elech l'makom she'in anashim l'mit bariyot v'yarim l'vchon l'avin et ma'aseh Hashem kinurahu. It's not that you should go to some place where there are no people, the wilderness or the forest, in order to think about the acts of Hashem and how awesome they are. Ki lo tahu bara l'shevet yetzra. He quotes from Yeshayahu, inside scoop. This was another one of those things that I saw these words and I just looked them up and realized it was a pasuk. I didn't know it was a pasuk. He did not create it for a waste. He formed it to be inhabited. So God wants us to form communities. He doesn't want us to go sit on a mountaintop all by ourselves. Ela ratzon Hashem yitrach liot ohev et habriot. What does God want from us? He wants us to love humanity. Ulechaber imahem, and to connect with them. Lulamdam bina v'haskal v'torat Hashem, to teach them understanding and wisdom in the Torah of God. V'im omnam shemema'it v'zeh lahashlim atzmo, and even, however, if you maybe minimize this a little bit in order for his own self-perfection, afilu hachi hu ratzon Hashem, even this, it's still, you're still fulfilling God's will, liot ohev habriot, as long as you love people. Because it's by way of this. Did I skip the other one? I skipped him. Sorry. Okay, that's okay. It's similar to this. So this is the Chatam Sofer. Just so you know, I've been reading the Chatam Sofer now. So as long as you love people, that it's through this love that you bring them closer to Torah and connection and clinging to God. Ve'im kavanato rak letachlit zeh, az yehav bechibur im anashim velibo davek b'Hashem. And if his intent is only to this purpose, then he will have a connection with people, and his heart will be clinging to God. Ve'afal piken parush mikol ta'anugei ha'olam hazeh. Despite this connection he has with society, with community, he is separated from all the pleasures of this world. We're going to read that footnote after we read a little bit more. V'zeh ha'prishut b'char Hashem. This is the separateness that Hashem wants. V'zeh she'bi'er kan be'omro kedoshim tiyu, she'tiyu be'prishut. And this is how to explain it, that when it says, be holy, that you should be in separateness, but you can be mistaken that this matter of separateness, that means to be alone in your body, to completely isolate yourself. That's why it's preceded by say this to the entire assembly of Israel. That is to say, it was said at Hakel when every Jew is together in one place. Shiye parush, yes, you should be separated, ava me'urav im b'nei adam, but you should be mixed in with humanity. Ve'atam mitnei rov gufei Torah shikuyam ha'Torah beguf tluim baza. And the reason is that the majority of the body of the Torah, that you should uphold the Torah, is dependent on being part of society. L'omod l'lamed v'liot mamlechet kohanim, to learn and to teach and to be part of this kingdom of priests. He goes on to say many other things. It's a very long Torah Moshe. But so a little later on, he says about kidoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem, you should be holy because I am holy. I'm God, you're holy. Ratzon lomar, that is to say, ki yesh harbe prushim b'chochmei umat ha'olam. There are many prushim, those who separated themselves, in the wise people of the nations of the world. V'hem yoter prushim me'olam hazeh. They're more separated from this world. Yoter mitzadikei Yisrael. Even more than the righteous people of Israel. Like, think of monks. V'omnam, or think of, the Hindus who separated themselves. V'omnam, prishotam me'olam v'tavotav. However, their separation from the world and desires, misinatam et haolam, it's from their hatred of the world. Lerov chakiratam ki akol hevel, ule amal v'yigia yulad ha'adam v'sofa lamot kamot mavet ha'behima. Because everything is vanity, and to hard labor and striving is man born, and his end is to die the death of animals. This is very Kohelet, Ecclesiastic. I think he's quoting or paraphrasing. Lo kein anachnu hadvakim b'Hashem chayim. That is not the case for us, the Jewish people, and I think we really see this today. It is so clear what he's saying, what distinguishes the Jewish people from the nations of the world. We cling to Hashem. Ein anu porshim machmat sinat olam. We don't separate because of hatred of the world. Ela ohavim et habriot. Rather, we love humanity. Ki Hashem ohev et briotav, because God loves his creations. Ubara ba'olam briot tovot. And God created wonderful creations. Ve'ilan not tovot. And good trees, lehan not miham, that we can enjoy, that B'nai Adam can enjoy them. Af anu parshim ad shi'or ve'erach yadua, lehitzdamot la'kadosh baruch hu shehu kadosh. We separate to a certain measurement in known value in order to emulate God, that God is kadosh, holy, separated. V'hainu kidoshim tiyu, so what does it mean, be holy? Prushim tiyu mita'am ki kadosh ani Hashem. Separate yourself to the extent that I, God, am kadosh. V'al derech zeh peresh rashi lekman v'sof haseder gabe pasuk. And this is what Rashi says later at the end with regard to the pasuk, says, and I will distinguish you from the nations to be for me. And Rashi there says, what does it mean? I'll distinguish you. A man should not keep the mitzvot. He shouldn't not eat pork because he hates pork. Rather, he should say, I want pork. But because God commanded me not to eat it, that's why I'm not eating it. So that's the idea of prishut, that we want to enjoy all of God's creations and all the beautiful things God has put in the world, but we separate ourselves to the extent to emulate God, and we keep his mitzvot, which I think maybe by definition, by keeping the mitzvot, we are separated, and there's nothing extra. And we don't need to isolate ourselves from humanity. And in fact, that's not God's will. We need to be mixed in with humanity and love all of God's creations and yet be separated in the commandments that God has given us. And then this footnote here, I tried to find who wrote the footnotes. I could not find it. I spent a lot of time searching for it. But this is so beautiful. Vehu lecha noam devarav. These are beautiful words. Shel Hagaon Rabbi Shimon Sofer Zatzal, Av Beit in Krakow, Beno Shamaran, Bemichtavo, El Ben Dod, Ha'admor Rabbi Yehuda Leib Eger Zatzal. So I think what it's saying is that the Chatam Sofer's son, so Rav Moshe Sofer's son, Rabbi Shimon Sofer, who was the head of the Beit Din in Krakow, he wrote a letter to his cousin, the Rabbi Yehuda Leib Eger. So another very famous posek rabbi. And he said in it, V'kach haya darkei avotenu v'rabbi hakadosh zchut yagen aleihem im otzem kedushotam chasidotam uprishotam gadlat tzniut. So this was the ways of our, I think he's talking about literally their mutual forefathers, their grandfathers maybe, with the greatness of their holiness, their piousness, and their great separateness, or their separateness, which somehow brought forth tzniut, which I'm going to translate as dignity. Hatznia lechet im Hashem, the famous pasuk from Micha, walk modestly or dignified with God. Uboa bechadrav chadrei livchem. And if you go into the inner chambers of their heart, b'maskiot kliotehem, in the wisdom of their kidneys, umachshav, which kidneys were the what was considered in the Tanakh is what gives you advice. Umachshavotehem and their thoughts. So with regard to all of the nation, they acted in a way of derech eretz. I don't think I need to translate that. In terms of what the humanity suffered. Veshamati mipe kadosh, and he heard from his father, the Chatam Sofer, from Ama, on that which Rashi explained in our Parsha of Kedoshim, Parsha Zo b'Kahal Nemra, b'Hakel, sorry. This Parsha was said at Hakel, the gathering of all the people. Hakavanak doshim tiyu b'Hakel. The intent is you should be holy at this gathering of all the people. Al derech shekatav b'sefer chovat levavot, like that which is written in, again, obligations, the duties of the heart, which he quoted from before. HaChacham mitboded v'hu b'makalot v'chevrat b'nei Adam. The wise person is alone, but also within the community of people. Tzalato b'fanav ve'avelo b'lvavo. His joy is on his face and his sorrow is in his heart. V'kach hayta midato shel avi. This was the character trait of my father. May his be a merit for him. Kol mi shaya mitbonen b'darchav ra'a ki tnuotav b'dveikut gedola b'Hashem. Anybody who really thought about his ways would see that all of his actions were in this great clinging with Hashem. V'torato al pi kitvei ha'ari v'zor ha'kadosh. But often, and his Torah was with the writings of the Ari and the Zohar. He was at this very high level. But often, shebnei adam hapshutim, in such a way that the simple men, lo hirgishu bo shum hishtanot memin hagad tzipor, didn't sense any difference in the way he conducted himself in public. So he's writing about his father, the Chatam Sofer, how he exemplified this idea to be of the community, loving humanity, loving all of God's creation, while at the same time internally being separate and connected and clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how we should strive to be, with this idea of being part of the world and yet our own inner life being connected to Hashem and being separate. So those are all the different understandings, not all, it's a selection of different understandings of what it means to be kadosh, kadoshim to you, and whether it's an information of please God, something we will experience through keeping the mitzvot, or whether it's an exhortation to separate ourselves so that we'll be holy. We can see that there's a lot to learn and many role models to inspire us on how to keep this balance from being both separate and yet part of God's beautiful and wondrous creation. Thank you.